This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Sunday morning edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio and your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate or Sirius XM, channel 206, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can also give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That is ZACHGELB. And we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. It may be week 15 in the National Football League, but more games already in the books than normal with the Saturday night games. And then we also had a classic on Thursday as you had the Los Angeles Chargers go down 14 points, not once, not twice, but three times. And they were still able to pull it out against the Kansas City Chiefs. As the Chiefs, there are two big problems going into the postseason. It's the coach and Andy Reid with all the problems that he's had in his career in the postseason. And that's a big question mark as we get ready for the NFL playoffs. And we'll see, will they be the one seed? Will they be the two seed? Will they even be the five seed? So we'll see what happens with the Kansas City Chiefs. And also their defense. Because defense, you have to make a stop in the postseason. You have to. And they were not able to make the stop against the Chargers. And even when they allowed the what would eventually be the game-winning touchdown, they went for two. They had another chance to make a stop. And they could not do so. So this Chiefs team, you have Mahomes. Mahomes is great. But in their biggest games of the year, they've lost. Lost to the Pats. Lost to the Rams, close, and they lose a close one to the Chargers. Now, they pulled the one out against the Ravens, a game they probably shouldn't have won. But going into the postseason, you wonder if they have to throw the ball 45, 50 times, which we know Andy Reid probably has no problem doing, because last year he had the league's leading rusher, and they didn't run him at all, basically, in the second half. Now, without having that rusher in Kareem Hunt, and Mahomes has to throw the ball 45, 50 times, how many mistakes does he make? So I'm not saying you panic on Kansas City. To me, Kansas City probably is still my pick to go to the Super Bowl, but the Chargers made it a whole lot more interesting. And that was just the first thing that happened in Week 15. Then you get Saturday games. And these Saturday games, when we were on the air yesterday, Houston and the Jets, you got the Browns and the Broncos, and they weren't games to me that jumped off the page that ended up would have been a whole lot of fun, you would think. But here's the thing. Houston Jets was closer than what you would thought. And Graceffo, who was being miserable yesterday, because whenever we talk about his football team, he's not too happy as a anger management problem with his football team. He just kept on demanding, all I want is a close game. All I want is a close game. And you can't have a conversation with Graceffo when he says that, because he just says one thing and he doesn't listen. He doesn't. All he wanted was a close game. And he got that close game, and it was a loss. So if you're a Jet fan, you're probably happy about that. Yeah, maybe you want to see the win, but quarterback plays well. That's the most important thing. And you'll lose, it helps you in the draft. As the Jets need more players, Jets have three players, really, that are really good. Darnold will be really good. Jamal Adams is already really good. And then you have Avery Williamson. Other than that, there is no must-keep player on the Jets other than those three. And this is a Jets team. They had a gritty effort. They probably should have won the game. And it speaks more to Houston that Houston couldn't beat a bad Jets team convincingly. And it was 29-22. I think it was a little fool's gold with the Houston win streak. I don't think they're that good, but they could still get the two seed. Because even though the Patriots beat them, if the Pats lose today to the Steelers, Houston would be controlling their own destiny for the 2 seed. And the Jets, they take the lead 22-19 with 5 minutes to go. And then after that, we know what happened. Hopkins gets a second touchdown, went 10 receptions, 172 touchdowns. I don't know if there's a better receiver in football, by the way, than DeAndre Hopkins. He's in that top three conversation. And he doesn't get enough credit. And he got the credit yesterday. But he played with a whole lot of bad quarterbacks for years. And now he finally gets a good quarterback in Deshaun Watson. I love Watson. He's a gamer, man. Bad offensive line, though, in Houston. He gets sacked too many times. But with Hopkins, you look at him, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham. You want to throw Michael Thomas in the mix. A.J. Green is the quarterback situation, not as dominant as it once was, but when he's a free agent, I think he has one more year on his contract. But when he eventually becomes a free agent, we'll see if that career, you know, who he goes to, what team he does play for. But if I was picking three receivers right now in the National Football League, no order, I think I would go in no order. I would take Hopkins. I would take Julio. And I'd probably take A.B. And I don't love A.B.'s attitude, but the guy's a heck of a player. And Julio is a good team player. And, hey, Hopkins is a stud. So that's Houston and the Jets. I don't think Houston's as good as advertised. I think the record's misleading. And the Jets, if you're a Jet fan, you have to be happy because Sam Darnold played a great game. He did, with no help around him. But then you get to the next game, the Browns and the Broncos. And you get the appeal, you get the excitement of Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield did not play his best game as a pro. We know that in that football game. But the Browns, they're fun. They're exciting. They're entertaining. And the ironic part is they're only 6-7-1. But even though they're only 6-7-1, they still have a shot to make the playoffs. And not only make the playoffs, they have a shot to win their division. With the Steelers having the Pats, the Saints, and the Bengals, they're 7-5-1. And the Ravens are 7-6. They got the Bucks at the Chargers and then the Browns. So this is something right now that the nation, unless if you are a Steelers fan or a Ravens fan, America's going to be rooting for the Cleveland Browns because they have been terrible for years. They've been awful, brutal, abysmal. One win going into this year in the last 2 seasons. Hugh Jackson had 3 wins in 2 years and change as the Cleveland Browns head coach. Greg Williams, the interim coach, comes in. He gets 4 in 6 games. And that shows you how inept Hugh Jackson was as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, getting into these petulant fights with Todd Haley. And they needed a new voice in Cleveland. And they got that new voice in Cleveland. And that voice is Greg Williams. And he connects with those players. He brings that energy. He brings that intensity. He brings that swagger. And it resonates with Baker Mayfield. It resonates with Peppers. Jabril Peppers played a great game last night. You have Myles Garrett. You have young talent on this team, as you should when you've been horrendous for this long. But now it's decision time. Do you stick it out and ride out with Greg Williams as your head coach next year? Do you remove the interim tag from the title of Greg Williams and make him the head coach? Or if you're John Dorsey, do you pick your own guy? And do you go the young, innovative, offensive-minded coach? Because the trend in the National Football League is not to go with the defensive-minded coach as your head coach. It's not the trend. But if you are John Dorsey, are you going to get rid of the interim head coach right now when he's winning? Especially if he goes on to finish off the year with 2 more wins and give you a winning record. If he gets to 8-7-1, and if he wins 6 games out of 8 games, are you going to get rid of him? You may, because you want your own guy, and you may not think that Greg Williams could win you a Super Bowl. And if that's the case, then you move on. But if you do move on, You better hire the right guy. You better make the right move. And I get it. Greg Williams, former coach of the Bills, Greg Williams had Bountygate. May not be the most popular hire, but he's entertaining. He's exciting. And he's winning. So if you move on, you better get it right. And when this job became available, I never would have thought I would have even considered Greg Williams for the head coaching job. I thought he'd just be an interim head coach. Maybe he stays on as defensive coordinator at the end of the year, and then you find someone else. But he's making the decision right now tougher and tougher because he's making it a realistic possibility that he could be their next head coach. And if you move on from him, and let's say he continues to win for the rest of the next two games, and you have a hire that does not work, Cleveland has been associated with losing for years. They're finally seeing some wins. We're celebrating them at 6-7-1. That shows you how bad they were for years. So if you move on and the culture goes different or the record goes different, you will regret that decision. But if you continue to win and you get rid of Greg Williams, you won't regret it. It's a results-based business, and the results is what it comes down to. And you wonder also on maybe the cons of keeping Greg Williams. We know the NFL is an adjusting league. Teams that win and win habitually, they make adjustments. So is this right now just lightning in the bottle? Hugh Jackson was so terrible, and now you have someone just that is a different voice. Are you going to be able to repeat this next year where teams won't be sleeping on Cleveland like they were going into this year? Because next year, Cleveland's going to be in the playoff conversation going into this season. People understand who Baker Mayfield is and what he's been able to do so far and the way that they've had life and positivity now in this organization for a team that won one game in 2 years. But you're starting to see the culture change and you're starting to see results. So are you going to go away from the head coach who is the interim head coach but who's successful right now? Or do you move in a different direction? Do you go away to keep the guy? That's what it comes down to. And the man that's responsible for that decision is John Dorsey. And this will be one of the moves. Drafting Baker Mayfield is one of them. And then picking the next head coach. And that marriage will define what your tenure will be in Cleveland. And you better get it right. Now, if I had to give you my best educated guess right now would be that they go away from Greg Williams. I'd be more than fine if they made Greg Williams the next head coach. But I just have a feeling if you're John Dorsey, you want to pick your guy. And the trend is young, innovative offensive minds. Maybe you want to go a little bit older on an offensive mind. Maybe you bring in Bruce Arians. He's interested in the job. And I love BA. But I get skeptical when a guy publicly campaigns for the job so much like he did with us a few weeks ago when he said not interested in the Packers. The only way he would return would be with the Cleveland Browns. I wonder if the love is back from the Browns organization to Bruce Arians. And if you bring in Bruce Arians, you keep Freddie Kitchens because they work together in Arizona. And then Todd Bowles could become available. Maybe you make him the DC. And also, when you get the defensive coordinator conversation, if you don't bring back Greg Williams as the head coach, will he want to return as the defensive coordinator? Those are all things that we'll wait and see, and we'll see how those answers do unfold. But here's my question for you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. With the recent success of the Cleveland Browns, with Greg Williams winning 4 games in 6 games, where Hugh Jackson only won 3 in 2 seasons and change. Do you keep Greg Williams as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
You look at the AFC North. There could be 4 head coach jobs that are open in the AFC North. There could be. Now, I don't think, even if the Steelers lose out, or don't make the playoffs, I don't think the Steelers move on from Mike Tomlin. He's never had a losing season. They've had three coaches since 1969. But it's a topic of conversation right now about Mike Tomlin with the way that this team has played, losing three in a row. The Ravens, I would think John Harbaugh would be back. I would, because of the way Lamar Jackson has played. They've won three out of their last four since Lamar Jackson has taken over. I would think Harbaugh would be back, but you have changes in Baltimore with Ozzie now leaving. So if Harbaugh becomes available, that's someone he will get a job in a second. But it's not crazy if the Ravens move on from him. The Browns, we already know Hugh Jackson's out. Will they give the HC title to Greg Williams, or will they go outside the organization and go somewhere else? And then the yearly topic of conversation. Will Marvin Lewis be coaching the Bengals next year? He must have some great pictures of people in the Bengals organization. And Marvin Lewis, he did a very nice job turning that team around, winning games in his career, but he doesn't win in the postseason. He doesn't win a postseason game. So it's amazing how you could last that long in an organization and not win a postseason game. It's really mind-boggling. So I've really stopped trying to predict when Marvin Lewis is going to retire, get promoted to president, or maybe they do fire him. But the guy's been there since 2003, and he's had a bunch of playoff appearances. So you have to appreciate that if you're a Bengals fan. But eventually you want to win. Eventually you want to win. He's 0-7 in the postseason. And that's ridiculous. No one takes over a job and has been there since he was 45 years old, and now he's 60 and you haven't won a playoff game. How do you survive? How do they keep you there? But hey, maybe they'll end up saying goodbye to Marvin Lewis or promote him to president, and they'll make Hugh Jackson the head coach. Oh, that would be the ultimate Bengals move. That would be a bungle move. It really would be. All right, 855-212-4CBS. We continue to rock the phone calls. Rick in Baltimore. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Zach. Great talking to you again. I feel like a pest.
No worries.
Yeah.
We'll get the exterminator out, though, if you call again next week.
Okay. I'm going to give you my take. This is a wild dilemma in this division, you know, this AFC North. But there's ironies here. Now, I told your call screener, I'm a Baker Mayfield fan, first and foremost. I thought that he would be drafted first. Now, Greg Williams as coach next year, I'd give him a shot. You know, what can they lose?
Well, you could lose a lot, because if it isn't successful, then you set your organization back when it finally looks like you're turning things around. Now, I could see the argument to be made for Greg Williams. Dorsey is the only one. Dorsey and the owner, they have to be convinced that he could win this team a Super Bowl, like the last caller said. If you don't think he can win this team a Super Bowl down the road, then you got to go with someone else. But
yeah, I don't know enough about him, to be honest. I'm concentrating on my team because I'm keyed up, man. I'll probably be up all night until this game. I slept a little bit. I'm going to tell you something, brother. There are going to be a lot of boo birds, and we're not fair weather fans here, you know, Ravens fans. And like you said, Harbs, he can find a job in a second, man.
You got to win this game. There's no excuses. You can't lose to the Bucs. You just can't.
No, I know. But I think, you know, I have no doubt we'll win. It's probably 90-some percent chance. I don't care if they win by 3 points. Just win, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you should be able to win the two out of the last three. The Chargers game is going to be tough, and the Browns could be tough. But the way the Ravens have played so far as of late, you should be able to go to the postseason this year, and we'll see if they are. Now, I got to ask you a question, because usually I see things on the call screener right in front of me, and they'll say, oh, so-and-so wants to talk about you, Jackson. So-and-so wants to talk about the Browns. Offensive coach Greg Williams. For you, it says, should he kick his friend out of his band? What's going on with your friend? Some drama there?
No, it's not a lot of – well, it's not a lot of drama. We're all – you know, I'm 61, he's 59, and our piano player is 61. Got a terrific band. We're having a lot of fun. I've been playing those skins for years, man, the drums. I'm technically proficient. I'm not an egomaniac about it. I'm advanced. all kind of gigs, man. I know you're from Jersey. I've been all over.
I'm from New York, but okay.
Yeah, and Jeff is a really terrific guy. I'm very loyal. But it's like our piano player has to teach him, you know, G, 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 A, A, A. When I come in, man, I want to be ready. I'm intense.
So you're ready to win a championship, and Jeff is his name. He's not ready to win it. He's still learning.
Well, he's 59. He's been playing this instrument since he was 14, the guitar.
Well, sometimes it's just not gonna it's not gonna work. You know, you may have to sit down and have a tough conversation with him. Maybe crack open a beer and just say, I love you as a friend, but you're just not playing well enough for us.
Yeah, I don't drink anymore, man.
Okay. Well, you know, have a water or something, or just, you know, have something.
Yeah.
You know, give him a bowl of ice cream, something that's not going to make him too upset.
And what's that supposed to mean? You know, we're going into Eric Weddle.
Eric Weddle, the ice cream bowl. I love Eric Weddle.
I love him too, man. I rag on him, man. You know, we're tough down here too, man. We're tough.
Well, you know what? Hey, you're tough. You got to make a tough decision, and you may have to cut the guy out of your band. And you know what? If he's upset, tell him to call me at 855-212-4CBS, and I'll take care of him, all right?
Okay, man. Hey, brother, you know, I love you, and you have a good Christmas, and I always enjoy talking to you, man. You're like a friend, you know?
Thank you, Rick. Glad we could do so. But you know what? You may be losing a friend if he doesn't take too kind to you telling him that you don't want him in the band anymore. Just letting you know.
Yeah. Okay, buddy.
Got it. Happy holidays to Rick. Man, band drama. 61, 59. You know what? If I'm that old and I'm playing an instrument, and I played piano when I was growing up as a kid, played a little Moon River. Used to play the drums just to annoy my parents. But I guess, yeah, if you're having fun, keep the guy in the band. But if he's a pain in the you-know-what and he's not playing well and he's messing up the vibe, then you got to move on. Sorry. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Got to be loyal. How long have I stuck around with Graceffo here?
I thought you were going to say Eli Manning.
No,
I knew that was a joke about me coming.
I'm dragging dead weight every Zach Gelb show, but
we're family though.
Right, we're like family.
Yeah, sure,
we're
tight but now. If let's say they offered you a promotion, let's say Mraz got some type of promotion, and maybe they want to put you in the DA gig, and they go, you could stay with Graceffo, or you could go join a better time slot. Are you really going to stick around with Graceffo?
No. But that's different. I'm not just going to kick. Like, let's face it. There's probably better options than Graceffo.
Many.
Technically, you know, technically he's not the most technically sound.
No.
I still have to teach him, just like
sometimes.
Rick said. But we're like family. Sometimes loyalty matters. Over
brother from
else.
Another mother.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to separate the relationship.
No.
And you have to move on. You know what? Here's my Dr. Phil words of wisdom. Sometimes you need to separate professional relationships with your friends. Do you want to be like Markel Fultz's mother? Now you're saying
we're putting cameras in people's head. We're not doing that.
Or do you just got to take a step back and say, Mom, take it easy, all right? You got to let me be my own person. I'm a peacock. You got to let me fly, all right? You never seen that movie?
No, I have, but okay. Now I got just this visual of James trying to fly.
Imagine Graceffo flapping his wings.
No, he's got his
hands. He got really colorful feathers, man.
He pulled his arms inside of his hoodie, his dirty hoodie that he's got, and he's just flapping the sleeves all around.
Now we know what Graceffo should be for Halloween next year. He should be a peacock.
There you go.
No.
No. You're out. We got to take a break. Thank God we're taking it.
You still gotta get through like another 10 seconds somehow. Yeah, you gotta figure it out.
Gotta push it here for about 40 seconds.
All right. We'll regroup. All right. I see Mike, Jeff, Joe, Kevin, and Mike. We'll get to you on the other side. Man, what a wacky, funky first hour. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Welcome to the overnight, everybody. So you know I'm inching closer to a vacation coming up next week, but...
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Talking Greg Williams. The Browns continue their winning ways. They've now won 4 games under Greg Williams. Pop the champagne. Get your hotels ready. Get your reservations in. The Browns are going to Atlanta for the Super Bowl, right?
Oh,
let's not get crazy. Now, I do remember there's audio. It's on my Instagram, at Zach Gelb. I was doing a rant in the offseason when Jarvis Landry started talking about the Super Bowl with the Cleveland Browns. And I think I may have said I would walk the Brooklyn Bridge in my boxers if the Browns win the Super Bowl this year, or I would walk from the East Coast to the West Coast if the Browns win the Super Bowl. So I'm not getting nervous yet. But if the Browns make the postseason, wow, that would be something. They're 6-7-1 right now. Bengals and Ravens left on their schedule. Steelers have the Pats, Saints, and Bengals 7-5-1. And the Ravens are 7-6. They have the Bucks, Chargers, and Browns. And the big conversation is, with Hugh Jackson no longer there, with the Browns having a new sense of life, a new energy with Greg Williams as the interim head coach, do you keep him as the head coach next year or do you go with someone else? And it's something I'm 50-50 on. I would have never thought he would have had a chance when he got the interim gig and they got rid of Hugh Jackson, but they responded to him so well that he's going to get an interview, I would think, and he's going to have a shot to get the job. Now, I would probably, if I had to make a bet on it, say that they go outside the organization and John Dorsey wants to bring in his own guy. However, if you keep on winning, you make that decision very tough. And it comes down to, do you believe you can win a Super Bowl with Greg Williams, or do you think there's a better candidate? And is this just a flash in the pan right now where you know you have a talented roster, you know you have some talent, and is it just because you got a headache out of the way in Hugh Jackson that the players are not responding the way that they are to Greg Williams with his passion, with his energy, and his excitement? Will that carry over into next year? We shall see. Or do you think teams will adjust and that will be something that will only last so long, and when they make adjustments, Greg Williams is not the man for the job? And do you want to go with a young offensive-minded coordinator or a young offensive-minded college coach to make the next pairing with him, whoever that coach is, and Baker Mayfield? Something to think about. But if you're the Browns and you keep on winning and you get rid of Greg Williams and you regress, man, those fans are going to be livid, because those fans have not seen a whole lot of winning. Think about it. They're 6-7-1 right now, and they're one of the best stories in football. So if you regress, you're going to get killed for it. However, if you get rid of Williams, I wonder if that's popular or not popular in Cleveland, and you bring in someone else, well, it depends on who you bring in. And if it's someone that's a great sell, then everyone's going to be on board, but that person's going to have to win, because this team has life. This team has energy. You got Peppers, you got Garrett, you got Ward, you got Mayfield, you got quarterback. You got some names on this team. This team has talent. And we'll see how they finish up. And then after the season, whether it's playoffs or not, and I still don't think they make the postseason, well, that next guy, will there be a next guy as head coach, or is it going to be the guy that's currently right there in Greg Williams? I'm 50-50 on it. But he keeps on making the decision tougher and tougher for John Dorsey. Because I don't think even Dorsey, if he's being honest with you, would have thought that when they gave him the interim title that he would be in this position. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We have a few people that have been on hold through the break. They've been waiting patiently. They want to talk about Greg Williams. Let's get to them right now. We go to Jeff in Boston. What's happening, Jeff?
So, I'm a Chicago Bears fan here out in New England. Very simple. I've seen good defense. I love it. I'm a Bears fan. But Tom Brady, the offense, that's what wins. That's what wins every year. We're not saying Super Bowl. We're saying consistency.
Well, Brady's offense has been great as of late, but early on when he first got into the league, the Patriots had great defenses.
Great defense, driven by great talent on offense with Brady.
No, in 2001, Brady wasn't the Brady that he is today, and I'm the biggest Tom Brady fan there is.
Oh, I agree.
But that Absolutely. Was a defensive team, and Brady he did not have these great stats. So I wouldn't say it was driven by offense.
Those two they won in a row. That defense was great. I've seen a Bears team go against Peyton Manning, and they lost it because offense, whatever. Offense wins you consistency. Offense wins Super Bowl over a long time, and that's what you want. A defense will get it in short periods of time. So So do you want a defensive coach or offensive coach? Do you want to get multiple years of success and possible multiple Super Bowls, or do you want to get a quick spurt and try to give all the money to the defensive players who demand a lot?
Well, it depends on what fits the culture of your team, and each team is different, but I didn't really understand the point of the phone call. I guess he's saying that with the way that the league is shaped right now, that you would lean towards more offense, and yes, I would agree, but if you could have someone, Freddie Kitchens, have the offense under control and Greg Williams as the head coach, that could work too. It can. And there's less and less defensive-minded head coaches now. It's more offense, and that's just a trend to the league, and it's going to come down to what John Dorsey wants. I probably would think that it's not Greg Williams next year. I would probably think that. I'm not convinced by it. I would be fine if they make him the head coach, and I'd be more than okay with it. But I have a feeling Dorsey probably wants to go and bring in his own guy. And yeah, with the way the league is trending, you'd probably bring in an offensive-minded coach. But if that coach doesn't work, and you get rid of Williams, who's had success here, it's not going to be a good situation. Joe in Pittsburgh, next up. What's up, Joey?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this Greg Williams. You know, I would he comes from a pretty good background with the Saints. They're doing pretty good this year. In fact, that's my Super Bowl pick. I would say, you know, from a Steeler perspective, I wouldn't want them to keep him because I think he's their best chance going forward as a coach. You know, that Steeler time frame of winning is about running out. And next year after in that division, the Browns are going to have to be contended with. And that sounds so strange coming from a guy who, you know, is such a big Pittsburgh fan, but that's just the way I feel about it. The offense is going to be under control if you have a franchise quarterback, which they appear they do. Then it just comes down to stocking a team, you know, with the right talent.
And it comes down to also as well, do you think you could do better than Greg Williams? If Bruce Arians interested in the job, do you want Bruce Arians? Mike McCarthy, people talk about him. Is there someone out there that is better? Or maybe there's a hot shot in college. And we've heard the names in college of NFL minds. And there's always a wild card in this too. And it's so tough to predict. You hear the rumors, you hear what the sources are saying. But there could be someone that John Dorsey just knows that people aren't talking about and he loves it. He just thinks he's better. And if you don't think there's someone that is better, then you keep Greg Williams. But if there is someone that is better in your mind, as it may be tough to move on, then you move on. And maybe you can keep him around as defensive coordinator, or who knows if he even wants to do that. All right, let's go to Kevin in Cleveland. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio, man. We had a great game tonight, man. It was so fun, man. It felt like that Jets game all over again out here, man. Even though we're out in Denver, man, we're still partying out here. I just want to give a shout-out to Ken Carmen and Adam Bull, man, Dustin Fox over there, you know, your CBS brethren.
I love Carmen. I love the Bull. Used to listen to him in New York when I was when I was a kid, and then Dustin Fox, good dude. So, yeah, what you got for me, though?
And Ken's national, too, man. Ken, got to give Ken his props, too, man.
Yeah, and also the Bull actually just did his last show on CBS Sports Radio. He maybe do some fill-in stuff, but he's spending some time with the family now on the weekend. So congrats to Adam the Bull.
Nice dude, man. Bull lives right down the street from me, man. Bull's a real cool dude, man. He lives over here on the west side of Cleveland. But anyway, getting out of all that, man. So what do you think about Greg Williams? I love Greg Williams, the attitude he's brought to this team. Can we possibly retain Greg Williams? We get somebody like Bruce Arians, who's been a head coach in the NFL, has had a lot of success, you know. Can we get Bruce Arians to be like the overseer of everything, you know? And maybe, you know, Bruce Arians is the head coach in title, but maybe Bruce Arians is the head coach, but he's really like the offensive coach, and Greg Williams is the defensive coach, but they're like associate head coaches.
It wouldn't work like that. Now, you could have delegation, and Bruce is someone that does delegate and let his defensive coordinator operate. You see what happened with Todd Bowles. But I don't know if Greg Williams says he's a real passionate guy, if he thinks he's deserving of the job, which I think he would at this point, and they don't give it to him, maybe he doesn't want to stay, or maybe he loves this team so much that he does.
Is it a money thing? The Haslams are, you know, loaded with money.
You could always sweeten the pot, but You could always sweeten the pot, but let's remember, Greg Williams was a head coach in Buffalo in the early 2000s. He probably wants some redemption as well. Now, your Arians point is an interesting one. And I talked to Bruce. We had him on the show, and I thought he may have been interested in the Packers job. I asked him. He said, no, no interest. He said the only job he's interested in is Cleveland. So Bruce wants the job. But usually when guys openly campaign for a job, and I love Bruce. He's been very kind to me. They usually don't get it. And also Bruce did say the only thing he misses about coaching is the relationships, not really the grind. Now, if Bruce Arians gets the job, you know he's going to be as dedicated as they come. But I don't know if you go with Bruce Arians. Hey, he could win games. He could be a tremendous coach. But it goes away from what the norm is right now in the National Football League of hiring young offensive-minded coaches. But, hey, if you bring in Arians, you need to bring in or you need to keep a young offensive-minded coach in there. Because I don't know how much longer Bruce Arians would be a coach for in the National Football League. Now, Bruce is interested. Are the Browns interested in Bruce? That's the question. Mike in Washington, D.C. What's up, Mike?
What's up? How you doing tonight? Is that?
Yep, doing great. Go ahead.
I think the Browns definitely win this division, man.
Definitely win the division.
Definitely win the division. I think the dog pound gets a home game in the playoffs.
Wow. Wouldn't that be something? That place would be, it would be bonkers. It would be one of the craziest scenes that we've seen in recent memory if the Browns are hosting a home playoff game coming off a no-win season. It's really a crapshoot. Right now I would lean towards the Ravens to win the division. But the Steelers season today, it's on the line. We will find out a lot about the Steelers coming up later today up against the Pats, a team that they very rarely beat. They have to beat the Patriots today. I think that game is a toss-up, though. So we'll have clarity on this after today. We really will.
I think the Steelers lose today, and I think if they lose today, they get blown out next week to the Saints.
Yeah, if you lose today, it's going to be tough to rebound. It really is going to be.
The Saints know they need that one seed, so I don't think they play around.
And that game's in New Orleans, too, which is very big. Appreciate the phone call, Mike. Jay in Niagara Falls, next up, CBS Sports Radio. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think they're going to go a different direction. Bruce Arians might be the guy. I don't think you keep Williams on as defensive coordinator. If you start out 0-2, 1-3, you might start seeing a little bit of divide in the locker room or something, maybe. Baker Mayfield's the main thing there, getting him developed. So you got to bring in a guy who can keep developing him. The quarterback's the number one thing in the NFL right now. So he's the main focus. So I go offensive guy. I wouldn't keep Greg Williams and go from there.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, with Freddie Kitchens and the way that he's been the offensive coordinator here, do they think he's good enough if you continue this formula over a span of 16-game season with Freddie being the OC and Greg Williams being the head coach? That's another thing to look at, but you bring up a great point with the quarterback. We know usually you have a quarterback with an offensive mind now as the head coach, and that could be the deciding factor. Now, at the end of the day, if I had to place a bet on it, I would say that they move in a different direction, but I don't think it's as easy as what people would have thought weeks ago. It's going to be a very tough decision just because of the way the Browns have played. I'll take one more phone call on this. Renee in San Diego, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Renee? How are you?
Hey, Zach. How you doing, man? My first time calling. I love your show. I just want to know, man, as of right now, let's say the future stars we have right now, who do you think has a better outlook, the AFC or the NFC? Like, let's say 3 years from now.
Well, it's so tough to predict because who knows if Brady's still playing. Rivers is older.
Yeah.
Big Ben is older. Exactly. You know, the youth in the AFC, you have Watson, Luck, even though he's not extremely young anymore. Lamar Jackson, what will he be? Darnold with the Jets. And in the NFC, I don't love Dak Prescott. I do like Carson Wentz, but the health could be a little bit of a concern. Goff looks pretty darn well. You still have Russell Wilson, Trubisky. Who knows what Kirk Cousins is doing in a few years. Breeze, he'll be gone soon. It's so tough to look ahead in the future. But I will say this year, the AFC is playing better than the NFC in terms of depth. And no one could have predicted that going into this year because everyone was riding on the NFC. But I do appreciate the phone call, Renee. And thank you for listening out in San Diego. All right, we'll take a timeout. But that does set up what I want to get to in the next segment. We have a lot of excitement in the NFL. more than I could ever remember. In previous years, people go, oh, the NFL's declining. And I always think that's ridiculous. Ratings are up this year. Revenue's going to be up. The NFL is having one of their most successful seasons, in my opinion, ever. And when we come back, we'll get into some of that star talent that we just mentioned and even more. The NFL's in a great spot. We'll talk about it next. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
The NFL is in a great spot right now. And people would just spew this nonsense narrative because the TV ratings were down 10%. And people would go, oh, the NFL is losing steam. It's losing momentum. Come on. The NFL is in the greatest spot it may have ever been. Just look at the scoring this year. Look at the ratings being up. The payroll for next year is going. The salary cap keeps on increasing. And last year in total revenue, they made more money than, you know, more money than they've ever made. I mean, $14 billion last year. And I wonder what they're going to make this year. This has been a great year for the National Football League. It really has been. But you just see the quarterback position, which is not only the most important position in the NFL, it's the most important position in all of sports. And the quarterback year this year is just crazy with the mixture of middle-of-the-road guys, older guys, and then the youth. You got Mahomes having a great year. Deshaun Watson having a special year. You got the emergence of Mayfield with the excitement of the Cleveland Browns. Sam Darnold played an excellent game yesterday for the Jets. The USC product, the third overall draft pick. Trying to turn around the franchise of James Graceffo's J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. You got Lamar Jackson. People were so disrespectful of Lamar Jackson. He deserved an opportunity to be a quarterback. And yes, he has to improve on his throwing, but he's winning games right now. You got Andrew Luck. After years and years of injuries, teaming up now with Frank Reich. Ballard doing a nice job with the Colts. Big Ben's the biggest enigma right now. 1 week, he looks like the MVP. He looks like a Super Bowl MVP. He looks great. He looks unbelievable. Looks fantastic. Someone that's won two Super Bowls. And then other weeks, he just looks miserable. He looks terrible. Mistake at the end. He has a heroic moment diving out for the touchdown against the Jags and then throwing a pick at the goal line. So he's so up and down. Phillip Rivers. Hey, Phillip Rivers has been great with the Chargers this year, 11-3, continuing to enhance that Hall of Fame resume. Tom Brady, not as dominant as years past, but the Pats still in a good spot as they try to get a bye. If Carson Wentz, injuries, and next year's going to be big, but they're, you know, you still know what he's capable of a year ago playing MVP ball. You have Goff. I know he just had a 4-interception game, but Goff, for the most part, has had a really solid year. Russell Wilson, part of the team on his back with the Seahawks. You got Mitch Trubisky and the emergence of the Bears this year, led by their defense. And you got Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has been horrible this year, but there's games you look at him, you say, what the heck is he doing? You got Rodgers. Think about Rodgers. And the way that that team has struggled. You have so many storylines here. Drew Brees and what he's doing at his age, playing MVP type of ball. And that's just the quarterbacks. And you want to look at last night's Saturday? How fun is Jamal Adams of the Jets to watch? How about J.J. Watt, the way that he still plays? DeAndre Hopkins, who doesn't get enough respect. And then you go around the rest of the league in terms of star power. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, defense, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald. You have Adam Thielen having the year that he's having. The NFL right now has so many dominant storylines and so much intrigue, and it's in a great spot. You want to look at the Giants. You tune into the Giants, even when their record was miserable. I know it's not great now, but they're winning some games now, and you have to watch Saquon Barkley because the guy's a video game. He's sick at what he does. And you just, you know, the Chargers. Derwin James, he's been spectacular. Tyreek Hill with the Chiefs. I could go on and on and on. And you got the story of the Jaguars. Almost to the Super Bowl last year. They stink this year. Amari Cooper and what he's done for the Cowboys. There's just so many great storylines this year in the National Football League. And the sport is in such a great spot. So with the names that I just mentioned, maybe there's another name out there that you've fallen in love with. Here's what I'll ask you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Which, by the way, is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, and it's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Who is the player right now in the National Football League that you have to watch each and every week? Who is the person that you tune in each and every week, whether it's because of fantasy, whether it's because of fandom, or you just respect what he's doing? Who's that player? Who's that player that makes your jaw just drop? And most of the times this year for me, offensively, it's been Patrick Mahomes. And the way that he extends the plays, will throw with his opposite hand, the no-look passes. He's been so much fun to watch this year with the Chiefs. And then defensively, Aaron Donald, man. That guy's just absurd. But who's the player right now that is must-watch in the NFL? Who is the guy that makes you tune in each and every week?
He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Right now we're talking about the excitement of the National Football League and how this is one of the more crazier years that I could ever remember and just how much star power there is right now and how many storylines there are. And we're looking for who is the player right now that you tune in for each and every week. Who's the most must-watch? Two guys that would usually be in the conversation are Carson Wentz and Odell Beckham, by the way. You will not be able to watch them this upcoming Sunday. Wentz with the back injury, and then Odell Beckham is out again. Is that a quad, right, for Odell? It's a quad, right, for Odell Beckham? Quad injury?
Quad.
Okay. So he's out for 2 weeks in a row. And hey, when Odell is playing, he's must-watch, and so is Carson Wentz. I just hope the narrative doesn't start with both these players. If Foles wins the game today, and I don't think the Rams are going to lose, but if Foles wins the game, I hope people don't start to say, oh, see, the Eagles should have played Nick Foles more. Just stop it. Nick Foles had a great year last year in a short time. But I don't think that would be able to be sustained over the course of a 16-game regular season. Carson Wentz has more talent. He's a better quarterback. Now, Odell Beckham, too. There are some Giant fans that don't like Odell. And some of it's because of the attitude. And I think Odell's a heck of a player. And sometimes people don't like his passion. The guy wants to win. Some people believe he makes it too much about himself, which is fair. But he's five. You know, the team's 5-8 right now. They won two in a row. They won last week without Odell. I just hope if they win again today, and let's say they beat Tennessee, people don't start to say, oh, see, you don't need Odell Beckham. You see the talent of that guy, you need him. Same thing with Carson Wentz, you need him. But there will be those people that will make those observations. Oh, well, do you really need Odell Beckham? Do you really need Carson Wentz? If Foles plays well later today and the Giants do get another victory. All right, who is someone that you must watch? We'll go to the phone lines in just a second. I also want to say one of those players, and we mentioned Mac and we mentioned Aaron Donald. Von Miller is also in that conversation, as he is now the all-time leader in sacks for the Denver Broncos. He has 98 career sacks. This guy's been in the league since 2011. Hello, Canton, Ohio, soon for the former Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 50. All right, let's go out to Austin in Wisconsin. Next up with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio. What do you got for me, Austin?
Hey, my man. How you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Good. You know, out of all the players, I mean, dude, I could think of many, many, but the top one that comes to my mind by far is Drew Brees.
Yeah, and it's sick what he's doing this year because he's 39 years old. He's thrown for over 3,400 yards, 31 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. And you see the way that he's been able to, because they've had some ups and downs the postseason. Some years they haven't made it, but the way that, I don't want to say reinvent, but the way that he's adapted his game over time, and just the story too. When he left San Diego and came to New Orleans, no one would have thought that he'd be one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and that's what he's becoming and what he is right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the guy's pushing 40 years old. I don't see him slowing down at least anytime soon. You know, he's just dynamite. I mean, he's a tough guy, and he just he just knows how to win.
And he's a great guy, too, and someone you could have your kids look up to, which we can't do that all the time with athletes in sports. I've been able to meet Drew Brees twice. He's just such a classy guy, and he's someone that's very easy to root for. Hector in San Jose, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Hector?
Oh, not much. How you doing? Derek Carr, the Oakland Raiders.
Really?
He's doing really good. He's got like 3,400 yards.
Yeah.
He's on pace to get over 4,000 yards, and despite all the setbacks, going forward, it looks all positive, and he's regaining that MVP form. And next year, we have like 3 first-round draft picks in the first round, so it's all looking positive for the Raiders. So I think Derek Carr, every week, he's getting better and better.
And he wants to be there, and he wants to win, and he plays with a ton of passion. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. We know that. My only concern is that Chucky and John Gruden may want to move on, and maybe he wants to use one of those first-round draft picks on a quarterback. But, Derek Carr wouldn't have been the first person that I would have thought of, but he's having a good year from a time earlier on in the season where he got off to that slow start, wasn't looking too hot, but now he's really starting to play well. The last few weeks, but I wouldn't say that that's the first name on my list, but if he could get back to that MVP form and could do that consistently, hey, there was a time where Derek Carr, we looked at him as, oh, this is one of the quarterbacks that's going to be great for years and years to come. I just don't know what Gruden's going to do, and to try to predict Gruden is impossible at this point. Steven in Dallas, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Steven?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. This may be cheating because I'm a big Oklahoma fan, but I love watching Baker Mayfield play so much. I've watched him play live a lot from just going to Oklahoma games, and it just seeing him just single-handedly almost lift this franchise out of mediocrity is something that's incredible. And just the way that he inspires the other people around him, I think he has the best intangibles of like any player that I have seen in my memory, and it's absolutely incredible.
But he's still got a lot to prove. But the guy, I get your point. Yeah. He's a warrior. He's a fierce competitor, and he's one of those leaders that you would run through a brick wall for. And what he's been, what the mentality he brings to a place that's been synonymous with losing forever, it's something that changes culture there. And I've been able to meet Baker Mayfield before. I'm a fan of his. Some people they don't love the attitude, and when you wear your emotions on your sleeve, I eat that stuff up. I've talked to some coaches in the Big 12, and maybe annoying to coach against because of how fierce the guy's a competitor. But those coaches, man, they all have complimentary things in the Big 12 to say about Baker Mayfield. And you talk about Oklahoma. Hey, you've been pretty fortunate the last 2 years. You get back-to-back Heisman winners, and you get two guys that are just video games, and Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. What he did this past year was unbelievable.
And one more thing, just to go into Denver. I'm a Denver fan, and I've been to many games there, and that Rocky Mountain Thunder is no freaking joke. And to go into that place and just, like, stay calm and composed, that, like, he's ice through his veins.
And you know what? He didn't play a great game, but he did enough to win, and that's what all you have to do in this league. And hey, look, the greatest quarterback of all time to me is Tom Brady, and Brady struggles in Denver. So it's impressive that Mayfield was able to go on the road. And I get Denver's not as great in years past, but you still got some good defensive players in Miller and then also in Chubb as well. But I appreciate the phone call. Eric in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Eric?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? What you got for me?
I was on the field on the sideline last week during the game.
Mm-hmm. What game?
Dolphins.
Patriots. Okay.
From the last play of the first half and the entire second half, from what I can tell, from what I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm 61 years old, so I've been watching him a while. I've always liked Tom Brady, but I think he hit the wall. That you will, from that play, the last play of the first half and the entire second half.
He was great in the first half up until that play. Now, I'll say this, and I see Brady, I watch him each and every week. I'm a Patriot fan. He has not been as crisp this year, but still he's thrown for 3,700 yards, 23 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I don't know. I wouldn't say he hit a wall necessarily, because he could come out today against the Steelers and go for 3-4 touchdowns and no picks, and then what do you say? And see, the thing with Brady, and what I noticed the trend is, because they don't usually lose, when they lose a game and Belichick and Brady show they're human, people start to speculate, is this the end? And I just don't know when the end's going to be for Tom, because we've been playing this game. Some people have been saying the end was in 2012 when he lost to the Giants the second time. And look what he's been able to do. So was he sharp in the second half? No, they should have won the game. And you know what? Are you saying this? If the Dolphins don't score at the end, are you still probably calling me up and saying this? I don't know if you are.
Yes, because if you look at QBR for the second half, it was probably the worst half he's had in his career.
Yeah, and he doesn't play well in Miami. And in the second half, he was not good. I totally get that. And the first half, he was great. But I just wonder if the narrative, if they survived last week, are people really calling up and saying that? If we're being transparent, I don't think we are. And we'll see what he does today. That's going to be a tough game today up against the Steelers. And he usually owns the Steelers, but that game could go either way, and the Steelers need it desperately. They really do. Mary Ellen in Virginia, next up, CBS Sports Radio. Mary Ellen, how are you?
All right. How you doing, bud?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
I'm just, like, totally psyched about football this year, just like you are.
It's great.
I'm sorry?
It's great this year.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most excited I've been in a long time about football from the entire league. The league this year, and there's been a lot of years where you can't really predict things. I get that. But this year, just at just the quarterback position, and you get to the running backs, Barkley, Gurley, receivers, the defensive players, you got a ton of star talent right now.
Out of control. And the thing about it is that even like today's two games, they weren't like, you know, sexy matchups like, you know, Kansas City against the Rams. But they're still great games. And I watched every minute of both games. And it's just so much fun, like, watching Patrick Mahomes and everything. And there's so many different storylines. Like, you know, you were just trying to, you know, name a few, and you just ran off, like, 30, you know, staccato, you know, going over all the different storylines. And it's just like, I'm just so, it's, like, so great not having that stupid thing about the national anthem and everything, having that over with.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a very important topic, but a lot of people just want to watch football. I get that. What the players were protesting for, I think they're very important issues. But you know what? That storyline has not been dominant this year, and you get to see the players this year and the way that they've been playing. And sometimes people go to football, and they don't want to deal with all the outside distractions. They don't.
Well, football this year has gotten away from the business part and gotten back to the fun, the entertainment part. And so that's why I'm so psyched about it, because it's not like the, you know, the girl.
Well, I agreed to get a job. It has been a topic of conversation, and it was starting to go away last year. And then the whole thing happened with the president and the SOB line, and that did bring it back up. But yeah, we haven't really talked about it this much. Earlier on in the season, yes, when Eric Reed got a job with the Panthers, yes, it's been back up. But for the most part, we've just been talking a lot of X's and O's and the players on the field this year. So maybe that does have something to do with it. I didn't really think about that too much before you brought it up.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Week 15, Packers at Bears. The intrigue here, we know the Packers are done, but you want to watch Rodgers go up against that Bears defense. And can Rodgers find a way to steal one in Chicago? I saw there was some talk about the Bears not too happy with what Rodgers said a few weeks ago in terms of talking about the division. The Bears, we know, are very physical. That should be a slugfest between Rodgers. Even when he doesn't have his best, he's still, we all know how great he is, going up against that Bears defense. Should be a fun one coming up later today. Bucks at Ravens. This one, the Ravens have a better defense, we know that. This one for me comes down to which QB makes the less, you know, the least amount of mistakes. You got Winston, who's not turned the ball over that much since coming back. You have Lamar Jackson, who's still trying to find himself, has played well, has won games, can kill you with his legs, extend the plays, continues to take that next step maybe in the passing game. And this one, the Ravens should win this game because of their defense, and maybe they force Winston to make the mistakes, but that's what this game comes down to. Which team could force the young quarterbacks to make the mistakes? Cards at Falcons, don't care about it. Raiders at Bengals, I do not care about it. Both those games are boring to me. But all four of those teams just stink. Titans at Giants. I don't know what Tennessee team shows up. It's different each and every week. The Giants, they don't have Odell in this one, but this is a Giants team. They've won two in a row. They're end of their schedule. You have Tennessee, then you're at the Colts and the Cowboys. For the Giants, they've shown you something here. You got to make improvements in the offseason, the offensive line. But you know what the player Barkley is right now. They're starting to build momentum for maybe it to carry over into next year. But you got to finish strong here. And we see if the Giants could do that. But 5-8 right now, they're starting to turn it around and starting to show what this offense is capable of. Dolphins at Vikings. Dolphins coming off the dramatic win up against the Pats in the last play. The Vikings have been miserable. Kirk Cousins has looked horrible the last few weeks. He was terrible against the Bears, terrible against the Pats, terrible last week against Seattle. He's got to win this game later today. And is Miami able to quickly move on from the Patriot game? Or do they go to Minnesota and do they lose the football game and have a little bit of a letdown? Minnesota right now, they're still the sixth seed. In most years, the way they've been playing, they would not even be in the playoff conversation. You got to win this game. This is a must-win for Minnesota later today. And Kirk Cousins has to earn that $84 million guaranteed. Redskins at Jaguars next. Redskins, it's a shame. That defense was playing really well. The offense has just been killed with injuries. The quarterback, Sanchez, I can't watch him anymore. And the offensive line has really, really been banged up. And the Jaguars, I'm sick of the Jaguars. Just get to the offseason. Figure out what you're going to do with some of the loudmouths that you have. Figure out what you're going to do on the defensive side of the ball. You have good defense. We know that. They've been dragged at times this year. You got to figure out what you're doing at the quarterback position, though. You cannot next year go into the year with Blake Bortles on that team. You just can't. And Kessler's not the answer. So who's the future quarterback for the Jaguars? What do they do in the offseason? Pats at Steelers. That's a big one later today. Pittsburgh needs the win in the worst way. If the Patriots want to buy, they have to win this one. If they lose this one, then the Texans would be in front of them, even though the Pats did beat the Texans earlier in the year. Pats could still technically get the one seed. They do have the tiebreaker between them and Kansas City. Kansas City is a game up. The Chargers a game up as well. The loss last week really did kill New England. Usually New England can move on and not let a game marinate in their mind. Can they do that early on? It will be very telling. Ben, the Patriots, they take away the greatest asset of the teams usually. I want to see if they want to take away Juju. They want to take away AB. Which one do they say, okay, go get your plays, go get your yards? In years past, we've seen AB get a lot of yards against the Pats, but the Steelers not win the game. The Patriots own the Steelers. This game at Heinz Field, Steelers, they could have won the game last year at Heinz Field. They did not. I think this game comes right down to the wire once again. A defensive play could win it. The Steelers have no answers for Gronk over the years. Gronk did look good last week. Brady in the first half, well, besides the last play of the game, but Brady in the first half was very good. Second half, not so much. I think this is a coin flip. It could come down to special teams, and the Patriots have not been great this year on special teams. Steelers, though, they have the kicking situation. Maybe they go for some two-point conversions today. This one, I have no clue how it goes. I want to say it's like a 34-30. You know, if it's not high scoring, maybe go a little bit lower, 27-23. I think it comes right down to the end. I think we have a great game. And, you know, maybe this is a big game for Josh Gordon, too. It could be a big game for Josh Gordon. Eagles at Rams. Wentz out, Foles in. I like the Rams in this one. I think the Eagles are done. And then you got the Saints at the Panthers on Monday night. Carolina still trying to squeeze in as a wild card. Saints still trying to keep pace with the number one seed between them and the Rams. McCaffrey fun. We all know that. It's tough to trust the Panthers. The Panthers, though, this is a must win for them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.